If you've got it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're still looking for it, say amen. Psalms number 1. Let's read this responsively. We're going to read all 6 verses. I'll read and then you read, and we'll read the last verse together. And Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. That's together. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to talk just for a few minutes about a godly man or a godly person. A godly man or a godly person. This Psalms gives us a description or the character and the attitude of a godly man or person. But it also sets before us the fate of the ungodly man or person. There is a similarity between this Psalm and the Sermon on the Mount, particularly we know it in Matthew, that was preached by Jesus. Some of those similarities are these, that Psalms 1 and the Sermon on the Mount describe the attitude and the actions of a godly man. Both present to us the godly person's character, influence, conduct, and destiny. For those who hear and do the word of God, the Sermon on the Mount ends with their destiny. Psalms 1 also comes to its conclusion with the theme of destiny, the destiny of the blessed man. This blessed man of Psalms 1 is like the wise man of Matthew 7, verses 26 through 27. This wise man built his house on a rock foundation. His house, his life, is stable and secure when the storms rage and when trouble is dashing against him. This description of the blessed man is placed in contrast to those who hear the word of God but refuse to do the word of God. They are also like this foolish man of Matthew 7, 26 and 27. When the storms and the trouble came, he discovers that he does not have that which can stand in the times of storms or the security in the time of trouble. Yes. Psalms 1 then gives us a portrait of two men, two people. He gives us a portrait of the blessed person or the blessed man and the ungodly man or the ungodly person. Look at the blessed man. The blessed man in Psalms 1 guards his direction.
He guards what he does for pleasure, and he is peculiar and particular of the company that he keeps. He doesn't hang out with the dogs. He doesn't have a lot of folk that he called his homies. He's peculiar and particular about who he hangs out with. He loves the word of the Lord. Night and day he meditates on the word of the Lord. This blessed man lives his life as described by the songwriter. And it's a song that was sung regularly by past generations that says, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. That song says, now I'm walking and talking with my mind stayed on Jesus. I'm walking and talking with my mind stayed on Jesus. This blessed man is not a man who is ashamed to hang out with Jesus and not his dogs and his homies, for he says, by testimony, it ain't no harm to keep your mind stayed on Jesus. The blessed man loves the Lord, but the ungodly man is just the opposite. He walks in the counsel of the ungodly, and he stands in the way of sinners, and he sits in the seat of the scornful. Instead of being secure, satisfied, and fruitful, he is blown about by contrary winds of life and ultimately destroyed because he has no sure relationship with God. This writer paints a picture of two men who live life from opposite spectrums of life. It is the story of a godly man and an ungodly man. The godly man is a happy man. He is blessed. He is a satisfied, productive man. The ungodly man is a man that goes through all of the motions of living, but his life is a life of vanity. His life ends in disappointing failure, separated from God. Every human being wants to succeed and be satisfied in life. He wants to avoid failure, yet so many choose to try to live life on their own terms, saying that it is my way or no way, or my way or the highway to God. But if you want to be satisfied, successful, and happy, consider some things that will allow you to avoid the destiny of this second man presented in this portrait. So consider the godly man's spiritual path. Look at verse 1 and 3 again. Verses 1 through 3. It says, blessed is the man that what? Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his what? Delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And in his law, he what doth he meditate when? Day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So then, if you will be a godly man, there are some things that you have to withdraw from. There are some things that you have to refrain from. You remember in that great chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, it says this: when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. There are some things that godly men who are maturing in Christ must put away. They must refuse to do. He refused to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, you can detect ungodliness when you see it, and you just don't hang around with it. You don't walk around and fraternize with those who are ungodly, doing ungodly things. Because we live in a fallen world, and we are a fallen humanity, there will be difficulty and uncertain times in our lives. There will be times of perplexity. But in those times, the godly person does not seek out the advice of the ungodly. I need to tell you, men, that you got to be careful who you listen to. You see, if you delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law do you meditate day and night, when trouble comes, then we can go to the word of God, and the word of God will give us advice and wisdom how to conduct ourselves in the time of trouble, in the midst of those situations. He is careful and deliberately avoids and goes out of the way, rejecting the ideas and the thoughts and the philosophies of the ungodly. It may sound good, but the godly man quickly discerns its unsoundness and refuses to operate from those principles and practices because there is no God in their thinking. Secondly, he refuses to stand in the way of sinners. He searches for no friendship, no companionship, no intimacy with the ungodly sinner. Paul the Apostle, centuries later, wrote this inquiry in 2 Corinthians 6. Listen to it. You ought to read it sometime. It says this. He says, it comes from this. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, in the strictest sense, Paul is talking about marriage, but in the broader sense, no Christian has any business with running with unbelievers. So he says, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? Somebody answer that. Somebody answer that for me. And what communion have light with darkness? When the light comes on, darkness flees. And there is no communion with the two. They can't occupy the same space. It's either going to be darkness or it's going to be light. So what is the communion that light have with darkness, and what concord have Christ with Belial or the devil, or what part have he that believeth with any infidel, and what agreement have the temple of God with idols? I could pause there for a minute, but that's not where I want to go this morning. What's the agreement that with the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God have said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean things. In other words, we are finding that this godly man, this blessed man, he did not want to associate with the ungodly. You got to be careful with who you hang out with. That's all he's saying. He says, for he understood the destructive effect of continuing contact with evil. Yet many people today and throughout history have been brought to trouble because they were with the wrong person in the wrong place. You can just be with the wrong person and get in a world of trouble. And we say we can listen to what we will, we can watch whatever we desire, and we can go anywhere and it not affect us. But this godly man understood that if you stand in smoke, you will start to smell like smoke. Do I have a witness here? If you lie down with dog with fleas, you're going to get up with some fleas. It's just inevitable. And so you can run with the wrong person, and you will take on the reputation of that person. And then thirdly, he refused to sit in the seat of the scornful. In other words, he did not listen to those who were experts in being cagey and catty, sneering and scoffing and joking, making a mockery of sacred things. He refrained and withdrew himself from that type of company. These are things the godly man chose to refuse and lay aside. But he also decided to make some positive things a part of his life. Now, some folk today don't think they're positive because we've turned everything that God has said was right upside down. What God says is right, we say it's wrong. If God says do love one another, we gotta hate. If God says wait till you get married to have sex, we say no, we gotta have it now. If God says thou shalt not steal, we gotta steal. So we've turned what God says upside down. If he says it's the right thing to do, we say no, it's the wrong thing to do. If God says this will bring you joy, we say no, this will bring me joy. Just the opposite of the spectrum. But look at what he says are positive. Look at what this blessed man says are things that he desired, that he wants to do. His greatest delight, according to verse 2, is this. Is that he delighted. I wished I could get some men to come to Brotherhood. I wished I could get some more to come to Brotherhood. Brothers, I'm not trying to turn y'all, but I just wish we could get some more men. But this blessed man says he delight in what? In the law of the Lord. He found joy in knowing not only these men, but I wish I could get some more to come to Bible study. I you know, if we as believers, you know, that's our food. That's how we get instruction. That's how we get in direction. That's how we get encouraged. That's how we get built up. That's how we get strengthened. That's where we find joy. We delight in the law of the Lord, and he found joy in knowing and doing the will of God. And the only way you can find out what the will of God is by studying his word. He could say all day long, I've been with Jesus. All day long, I've been with Jesus. He could say that rejoicing in his promises. His response was a response of gratitude to the purpose of God's grace that was behind the law of God. It is the law of God, when followed, that provides for the blessed life. In other words, when we obey God's word, that's when we receive the blessings of God. God wants to bless us, but before we are truly blessed, we've got to obey God's word. We've got to obey God's word. I know it's relative to some. We're used to having what we have right now. But God's got more that he wants to give you. You see, if you come to my house, I can fix you a steak and potato and feed you, and you might say it's pretty good. But if you go to the Cattleman Steakhouse and get you a steak and a baked potato, it's going to be so much better. So if you obey God, I tell you, it's going to be so much better. It's going to be so much better. You are settling not for second best, but you are not getting God's best until you're obeying. Yes. Until you are obeying him. And then he meditated on the law of the Lord night and day. He was continuously considering the truth of God. He mulled it over in his mind throughout the day so that the meaning of it would become a part of him, saturating his whole being. What do you keep on your mind all day long? What's on your mind all day long? We turn the radio on and we turn it on, I don't know what station you want, and we listen to the music, and that occupies our mind all day long. But how about occupying our mind with Jesus and the things of God? Meditating on the scripture. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I didn't live to get a little bit older, because I can remember when the old folk who depended and trusted in God, he had to raise the chickens and the greens in their backyard. They didn't have anything, and they would always say, if it's the Lord's will. If it's the, they had their mind stayed on the Lord all day long. All day long. And this psalmist, he kept his mind on the Lord. And how shall, this is what the scripture says. He says, how shall a young man cleanse his ways? You can't do it listening to K105, K104. You can't cleanse your mind that way. But he says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Is how you're gonna, the young man's gonna cleanse his way. And then another passage, another scripture from the word of God said, thy word have I hid in my heart, O God, that I might not sin against thee. You gotta stay in the word of God. You gotta meditate on it day and night, because the devil is always trying to trip you up. Peter said that he's going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I need to tell you, when the lion roars, he's not looking for food. When he roars, he's got the food. He's got you already when he starts roaring. Don't you know you can be sitting quietly thinking about something, your mind in Never Never Land. That's not on Jesus. And all of a sudden something happened and then you go off. That's the roar of the devil. Yes. He's got you then. Yes. You know how it is. I almost did it yesterday going down the street in the car. And I was driving along trying to get on 820. And the man wouldn't let me in. And he speeded up. And there was a short entrance ramp. And he ran up there beside me. He had an old beat down car. He didn't care if I hit him or not. Oh, Lord. But Brother Leon, it almost got me. Oh, Lord. I almost acted like we all act sometimes. And at that moment, if it had happened to me, the lion would have roared. He got me just where he wanted me. Yes. Well, you got to hide the word of the Lord in your heart, that you will not sin against him. Yes. This is the way of the godly man. Sometimes as you survey the world's landscape and see all that is going on, you're trying and seeking to do the right thing, but you get mistreated, rebuked, and put down by those around you. Yes, the way of a godly man is a hard way, but I want you to know that it is a good way. For the godly man is a blessed man. It is the way of divine favor. But now, as I get ready to go to my seat, there is another way. It is the way of failure that many who reject God have chosen to travel. This is the path of the ungodly man. It is just the opposite way of the godly man. The ungodly man operates his life doing things his way. He rejects God and he rejects the law of the Lord as the governing authority of his life. Where the Lord has said, do this, he says, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do it my way. Where the Lord says, don't do this, he says, I'm going to do it anyway. Because it does not matter, and it is what I want to do. He rejects the law of the Lord, and he lives his life only by the practices, principles, and counsels of the ungodly. He wastes no time hanging out with sinners, because he hung out with scorners and scoffers who thought nothing of the things of God. He too, no doubt,
took on the same attitude and speech about spiritual things. Be sure, my brothers and my sisters, the Bible is true. Heaven and earth, the Lord said, shall pass away, but my word shall stand forever. The ungodly man will find that he is not well watered and deeply rooted, satisfied and prospering, being fruitful in life, but he's blown away like chaff when the storms of life sweep across his path. He discovers when the world is caving in on him, instead of being alive, he's dead, dry, wind-driven, insecure, and helpless. He has nothing to show for his life. There's no vitality, no stability, and his life comes to a sad end of failure. But it is not so with the godly man. He stands as an evergreen tree planted by the rivers of waters. I can hear Sister Sally Brinson when she would get wound up sitting on that side of the church. Sister Sally Brinson was an old member of this church. She's been gone a long time. That was when they had wood floors and no carpet on the floors, no padded pews, but they would get to patting their feet, and she would break out with a song that said, I shall not be moved, like a tree planted by the rivers of the waters, I shall not be moved. That's what this godly man, he had the assurance that he was deeply rooted and he was standing strong like a tree planted by the rivers of the water, satisfied. He is like a tree that is deeply rooted, like a tree that is secure, full of vitality, producing its fruit in season. It is a life lived in fulfillment and prosperity of soul, a life of permanence. The world today, my brothers, needs some godly men. They are needed at home. The boys in the home need a godly man that will stand. And I tell you to stand for righteousness and for the Lord, even in a home, is a hard thing to do. But you got to know whose side you're on, Brother Michael, who's on the Lord's side. And you've been planted like a tree, and when the winds blow against your home, you'll stay there and you'll stand. Godly men are needed in the church house. The church needs some godly men who will stand for God. I tell you, godly men are needed to go up and down the halls of the school, who don't mind telling some of these boys with their pants hanging down on the ground, boy, pull up your pants. I don't know what you're trying to be, but pull them pants up and not be afraid of them. Tell them boys, listen, don't talk like that, and then help them to find their way. I tell you, the schools need some godly men. They are needed in the communities to walk up and down the streets so that men will have a model to model, boys will have a model to model their lives after. They are needed in government, some government officials that rule in justice and in righteousness instead of in crookedness, trying to fill their own coffers for their own motives. Some godly men are needed in government. They're needed in the workplace. Somebody black, godly men ought to be able to go to the workplace so that the white man will know that there are some good and strong black men. Every black man don't have to be a dope dealer, but you ought to be able to get you a BA and a master's and a PhD and go in the workplace and let your light shine. Because I need to tell you that the world needs to know that it ain't nothing deficient about a black man's character nor his mind, that he's a man created in the image of God just like every other man. And I tell you, with God on your side, you can do it. Godly men are needed to establish and live godly principles and values in this society and culture today. When you take the path of a godly man, it's not an easy path, but it is a good path. And when the adversarial winds blow, seeking to bring you down and to conquer your soul, the godly man is able to stand. You might be in, but you'll not be broken. You might reel, but you're not uprooted, because the Lord will take care of you. The Lord will strengthen you. The Lord will establish you and keep you. Be a blessed man, for a blessed man is a happy man. Be a blessed man, for a blessed man is a man filled with joy. Be a blessed man. A blessed man is a content man. He's been able to be content in whatever situation he finds himself in, because he knows that the Lord is on his side. And if the Lord is on your side, what can men do against you? Be a blessed man. A blessed man walks with the Lord. Be a blessed man. Not only does he walk with the Lord, but he knows that the Lord is walking with him. And I tell you, anybody here know that the Lord is walking with them. Any man here today know that the Lord has been with you all of these years. When men tried to put you down and say you were nothing, but the Lord was on your side. Anybody here know that the Lord has made a way for you, a way out of no way? That it was the Lord that helped you keep that job when some white man was over there talking about you. It was the Lord that got you a job when you needed a job. Didn't you do a lot of any meeting here today that can say that the Lord is the reason I'm here, that the Lord has been a blessing to me, that the Lord has brought me all the way? It is in him that I'm going to stand for. It is in him that I'm going to let my light shine. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Anybody want to know that the Lord is all right? Are you all right? Are you all right? Say yeah. 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 I know he's all right. I know he's all right. I know he's all right. Is he all right? Is he all right? Say yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. A godly man. Be a godly man. Be a blessed man. Be a blessed man. I'm gonna put it out there. If I could sing it, I'd sing, "The Lord has made a way somehow." But I can't sing. I'm just gonna throw it out there. Doors of church are open. Somebody out here ought to know, man, that because of your faith in him, because of your obedience to him, You are a blessed man, and the Lord has made a way.
If you're here and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we invite you to come today and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Won't you come? Doors of church open.
Try to do my best in service.
All right.
Try to live the best I can. When I try to do the right things, evil's present on every hand. I wonder what I should do to keep on going through. But I say to myself, be thankful, for the Lord will make a way somehow. Like a ship that's tossed and driven, battered by an angry sea. When the storms of life are raging and the fury falls on me, I wonder what I have done well to make my race hard to run. Then I say to my soul, take courage, for the Lord will make a way somehow. Help me sing, the Lord will make a way somehow. When beneath the cross I bow, He'll take away your sorrows. Just let Him have your burdens now. When the Lord bows down so heavy,
yeah.
I found a sweet relief in knowing the Lord will make a way
somehow.
The Lord will make a way somehow.
When beneath the cross I bow,
He will take away
in sorrow.
Let Him have your burdens now.